From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, folks, welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to be back behind the broadcast microphone. Want to thank our good friend Jeff Stein for filling in yesterday. Jeff is the incredible host and boss hoss over at KXEL in Waterloo, Iowa, a terrific loyal affiliate to the Todd Starnes radio program, and we love all of our listeners in Waterloo. By the way, I was out yesterday. A good friend of mine, Dr. Manny Sethi, running for the U.S. Senate, asked me to MC a big campaign event in Memphis, Tennessee yesterday, and it was during the show. Senator Ted Cruz was here, and he's been campaigning with Dr. Sethi, who, by the way, is a trauma surgeon, and he says that it's time to fire Dr. Fauci. What do you think about that? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free number, by the way, 844-747-8868. Before we go to the newsmaker line, though, Caleb and Avery, the senator said some very nice things about our program yesterday.
I heard that.
I did,
and
too.
I believe that we have the audio of Senator Cruz lavishing great praise. And normally, we don't do this. We don't like to toot our own horn, but we've been getting getting smacked around in the media quite a bit, so we need to do a little bit of tooting right now. So, Caleb, if you will.
And you have been a voice of sanity, and in particular, a champion for religious liberty, for people of faith being persecuted, and your voice makes a difference in Tennessee and all across the country. Thank you.
Oh, you got the round of applause at the end, too.
A round of applause. That's right. So thank you, Senator Cruz. We appreciate the kind words. It was a terrific campaign event. By the way, primary day across many, many parts of the country. Get out and vote today. Remember, elections have consequences. And so if you stay at home, well, you get what you don't vote for. All right, look, I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. We talked about this story earlier in the program. These pro-lifers who were arrested in our nation's capital, they were writing a chalk message on the sidewalk in front of a Planned Parenthood abortion mill. Black preborn lives matter. That's what they were trying to write. Got hauled away. Our good friends, Students for Life and the Frederick Douglass Foundation, said they had the necessary permits to do what they were doing, unlike the protesters who have been burning down city blocks. On the Newsmaker line, our good friend Kristen Hawkins, president of Students for Life. Now, Kristen, are you calling from behind bars? Do you need bail money? What can we do to help? Jeez-a-loo.
Yeah, I am not behind bars, thankfully. The two young people who were arrested only spent about 45 minutes in the jail, so it was a pretty scary 45 minutes. But they are out, they are free, and they're at their home, so they're safe right now. But we need help. We need folks calling the D.C. mayor, Muriel Bowser, emailing her. You can go to studentsforlife.org, and you can send her an email. It takes like 10 seconds to do it from our website. But we need folks to put pressure on the D.C. mayor to drop these charges, these unconstitutional charges against these two students, and to demand that she allow us to paint our message. Black preborn lives matter, right where most of the black lives, the majority of black lives are ending in Washington, D.C., and that's in the Planned Parenthood facility.
So I want to be very clear here, Kristen. Did you guys have a permit to do what you were doing?
We applied for a permit to have the event. So we sent a letter to D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser about 3 weeks ago. We had our attorneys help us craft it, and it was very simple. You painted the streets with the phrase Black Lives Matter. That's government speech. You use taxpayer dollars to do that. And then you allowed protesters without a permit with permanent paint to go forward and then add to your painting to say defund the police. She had multiple opportunities to get rid of that painting. She did not. In fact, she sent crews out there to touch up the paintings. So we asked for the same rights that those activists were allowed to have, because when she allowed that speech to be written with permanent paint on DC streets, she opened up the streets for free expression. And so we said, now is the time for us to add to this important conversation. We gave her a deadline. We told her when or where we'd be painting, and we asked her to let us know. We did not hear from her. We know she spoke, her office spoke with the D.C. Office of Special Events at the police department. The police department reached out, asked what we were doing. We told them what we were doing. They gave us our permit to have 50 people gathering. You know, we had to promise to wear masks and all that stuff. The police officer then asked our vice president to make sure to buy only temporary paint, which we said, well, that's a little unfair because you allow the protesters to paint pro paint, but okay, we will do that. But then Saturday morning at 4 a.m. when we arrived at the D.C. Planned Parenthood, we heard from Mariel Bowser loud and clear because she had six police cars waiting there for us. And we were told by the officers at the scene that their boss was the mayor and we are not allowed to write anything on the street. So being good activists that we are, Tom, you know us, we had a backup plan. We had our sidewalk truck, which, by the way, every single Saturday, our students are chalking in front of the Planned Parenthood. They're part of a sidewalk advocacy team that's always there. So we started to write our message on the sidewalk with washable sidewalk chalk, and that's when two of our student leaders were arrested.
And this is just appalling. And you're right. I do know you guys. I've had a chance to speak at one of your gatherings in New York City. Y'all are good, law-abiding folks here. Y'all aren't, riffraff out there, burning down city blocks and looting and pillaging and plundering. You're good people. And that's what really angers me here, Kristen, is because there is a clear double standard where people are allowed to pillage and plunder in the name of Black Lives Matter, and yet you guys aren't allowed to get out there and write something in chalk. I mean, what are they going to do, Kristen? Arrest all the little 5 and 6 year olds who are playing hopscotch in front of their sidewalks?
Yeah, I mean, this is what it's coming to. And this is something that we know is this was a clearly unconstitutional arrest. And even the police officers who, by the way, we were thankful that the police officers were there. The officers were, very respectful. And we told them, this is wrong. And this is wrong. And we understand you have to act on orders from the mayor. But this is clearly wrong because we do this all the time. And had there been little children out there sidewalk chalking, would they have arrested them? I don't know. We didn't have any children out there in the morning with us. But, we will be going to other cities across America to make sure anywhere where the mayor has painted the streets, allowed others to paint the streets, that means they've opened up the streets for freedom of expression. And what's happened in D.C. is something called viewpoint discrimination, where the mayor has essentially said, it's okay for somebody to say defund the police and permanent paint without a permit, but it's not okay for you in temporary paint to say Black pre-born lives matter. That's a viewpoint discrimination, and that's illegal. You can't do that. And by the way, when we're having this conversation right now, Todd, about Black Lives Matter, which is an important conversation for us to be having, we have to be talking about an organization that receives almost $2 million every single day from you and I, the taxpayers, that not only has a racist past, and we have Planned Parenthood's own employees now openly writing letters decrying their founder for her racist statements and eugenic beliefs, but they also have a racist present. The Black women have a 5 times higher rate to abortion. Black women make up 38% of all abortions, yet only 13% of the population. 4 out of 5 of Planned Parenthoods are in walking distance of minority-dense neighborhoods. We know exactly what Planned Parenthood's business scheme is here, and it's racist. And they should be called out for their racist past and their racist present.
They started their business to kill unborn Black children, and they're still in the business of doing that today.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, look, Kristen, we're going to have to wrap it up here. Where can folks go to lend a helping hand? I mean, you guys got to pay bail money. Mm-hmm. I guess you can't have the people just in jail. Where can people go to lend a helping hand?
That's right. You can go to studentsforlife.org and you can send an email to DC Mario Browser like in 10 seconds. We also have a legal defense fund. We've hired our own general counsel. We'll be working with the Alliance Defending Freedom as well. So there's going to be a couple legal teams working together on this case because we've got the criminal defense and the First Amendment issue. So just go to studentsforlife.org and you get all the information there.
All right. Next time, you got to give me a call beforehand, Krista. Just give me you've got my contact info, and we'll be down there with the toothbrush ready to go to jail alongside these kids. This is unacceptable.
All right. Well, get ready. I'll have some dates to send you.
All right. Look, we will be there. Kristen Hawkins, wow, what a fierce warrior. Folks, she is, you do not want to mess with Kristen Hawkins, a nice, sweet lady, mom. But I got to tell you something, when it comes to standing up and defending the unborn, watch out. All right, studentsforlife.org. Now, look, before we go to break, what is going on in Asheville, North Carolina? I know they got a lot of liberal loons living in that town. I don't know why they call it the Berkeley of the South. I knew things were not good in Asheville when I went to a restaurant and I ordered some iced tea and it came to me unsweet. They did not serve sweet tea. This is North Carolina, people. We're not talking about, you know, the North. No offense to you Northerners, but you got to have your sweet tea. And then I'm looking down the menu and I thought, well, you know, I had a hankering for some Carolina barbecue. So I noticed they had a barbecue sandwich on the menu. I'm looking at the description. It was barbecue tofu. I'm like, what in the world has happened here? This is what we call culture creep. It's like kudzu. And once you have leftists moving into your neighborhood, it's like a diseased vine. It just consumes everything it touches, just like kudzu. So maybe this isn't much of a surprise, but the school district in Asheville, North Carolina, has announced they are going to allow the children to disrespect the national anthem. They're going to let the children take a knee. And the school district says it's a silent form of expression. A school spokesperson had this to say to the local television station WLOS.
Well, we just we place great value on the thoughts and the feelings of the students.
Let me repeat that from the school spokesperson for Asheville City Schools.
Well, we place great value on the thoughts and the feelings of our students.
Thoughts and feelings? When I was in public school, Hope P. Sullivan Elementary School in South Haven, Mississippi, the coaches never cared about our thoughts or feelings. They cared about right and wrong. They cared about you doing what you're supposed to be doing. They didn't care about
thoughts and feelings.
They didn't care. Now, I have a great uncle who has gone on to glory. His name was Dean Bolin. They called him Chico because he loved to wear the Hawaiian shirts. He was a World War II hero, played ball at Furman University, got shot up at Iwo Jima, came back and he started coaching at Travelers Rest High School in Greenville, South Carolina. They named the football stadium in his honor. He actually started the football program. Since Uncle Chico was a Marine, he decided to call the high school football team the Devil Dogs. And to this day, Travelers Rest High School, known as the Devil Dogs, and they play at Chico Bolin Football Field, the stadium, named in his honor. Well, I got to tell you something about Uncle Chico. If any of those urchins on his team would have taken a knee, and he was a good church-going Baptist deacon, there would have been a come-to-Jesus moment right there on the football field in front of God and country, and I can promise you this, he would have jerked a knot in any football player who disrespected America. What do you think we ought to do now, folks? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
to tell you something. I'm a little puzzled by something that happened the other day on social media. We were going to talk about this yesterday, but I wanted to bring this story to you today. So there have been a couple of instances. I got in trouble twice on social media, guys, twice. So the first incident happened in Post Falls, Idaho, where this enraged woman, a full-figured gal, and her husband were in the Walmart, and apparently some youngsters, some teenage boys, homeschool. I don't know. You know what? I don't know if they're homeschooled, but I think they may be homeschooled. Anyway, the kids were in the Walmart, and they told them, you know what? You need to put a mask on. The boys said, well, we don't have masks. We're not wearing masks. And so they let them into the Walmart. All right. So that was it. So anyway, this couple, the husband and the full-figured gal, his wife, were wearing the masks. And they immediately confront the kids about not wearing a mask. And they tell them that the woman says, well, I hope your grandmother dies of the China virus. That was very rude. And so then they turn away and then they come back. And at that point, one of the kids turns on the camera and starts filming the encounter. And the woman is completely enraged and says, you're abusing your freedoms. You're abusing your freedoms.
Full blown Karen mode.
She was like, my pretty. No, what did you say, Caleb?
She went full Karen mode.
So that's what I called her, a crazed Karen. So anyway, I got in trouble. Oh, by the way, so the woman slugs. She punches one of the teenagers. The Walmart staff, they're just sitting around laughing. And the mom is outraged. Outraged. So they're filing charges against the crazed woman. I called her a crazed Karen, and I got some nasty emails from women named Karen.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not sure they're listening to the program anymore. They took grave offense, but I didn't make up the name. Yeah, that's just what they called.
No, listen, it's unfortunate. It's not their fault, but I don't know any other thing to call that type of woman, so it is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a couple of things, but we can't
really
say that on the radio.
Right, obviously.
Yeah. Anyway, story number two out of Manhattan Beach, California. Some guy and his girlfriend, and this guy needs to dump this gal. So there were these two other dudes, and they had just gotten their breakfast burritos, and they were sitting down about to eat the breakfast burrito. And this woman comes over. They're not wearing a mask. And so she's like, you got to put a mask on. You got to put a mask on. Very profane young lady. And so they refused to do so. And the guy said, rightfully so, it's hard to eat a burrito if you're wearing a face mask. That is a matter of fact. So she wasn't having anything to do with it. And so she like gets in their faces. And then she like throws a cup of hot coffee on one of the guys right in his face. And so instead of attacking her, he attacks the boyfriend and lays out the boyfriend. And a lot of people were saying that, you know what, if a woman does that to a man, that I just don't think you should ever hit a woman. I don't think you should ever engage like that. But a lot of people took me to task for that. I just think the boyfriend, you know what, he got what he deserved. What say you? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Sorry, you know what I just did, Caleb? I love this bumper music, but it's so relaxing and reflective, and I was just daydreaming.
We're all tired.
I forgot that we were still doing the radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, you expect more from the broadcast professionals here at the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Avery docked my pay this week.
Okay.
That's just unacceptable. And we have Congressman Jody Heise on the Newsmaker line to boot. Congressman, it's been a long day, Congressman. What can I say?
Hey, listen, I appreciate you waking me up, too.
Congressman Jody Heiss from the great state of Georgia. I'm going to ask you about something. A couple of days ago, we did a story up on our website, and there were these protesters out in Oregon were burning stacks of Bibles. And, you know, we've seen the Catholic churches that have been desecrated. They tried to burn down St. John's Church. And it just, this just flat out reminds me of what the Nazis were doing. And this is just really shocking stuff.
It really is, Todd, and it's just painful to watch. It's so indicative of the direction that this whole movement is taking. It is anti-God, anti-American, all the principles upon which we all cherish and love as Americans. And, you know, it's just a bunch of thugs who are trying to take over different cities and seizing portions of those cities and now trying to hold our entire country hostage to their demands. And I think it's high time that we, the people, and in whatever capacity we, the government, step up and put a stop to all this nonsense.
Just a reminder, really, I suppose, of how important the 2020 presidential election is. I mean, we say this a lot, but, you know, every election cycle, it seems. But honest to goodness, we are at a true crossroads in this country.
We are, and I think that's important for people to realize going into this election cycle, that this is not a typical election. This really is a crossroads for our country to determine the direction that we're going to be going, and the choice is very simple. We're either going to maintain the America that we have all grown up in, or we're going down a path of Marxism. We're going down a path of government taking over every aspect of your lives, and the Democrats have been very vocal on some of those things that they want to achieve from the Green New Deal on down to multiple areas where they will take over our lives. And this is a serious election, and I hope that the American people will see it. Here's a Democratic Party that wants to defund the police. They are okay with riots taking place and the threat, really the acts of terrorism and violence against police, against citizens, against businesses, against property. This is a Democratic Party that is standing for everything that we oppose in the country. And I just hope that the reality of that will become more clear the closer we get to this upcoming election.
You know, you talk about reality, and we see this a lot in Memphis, Tennessee, where we broadcast. This is our flagship station here in Memphis. A lot of businesses are shut down. They've got signs up. You know, it's been a great run, but we just can't survive anymore. I suspect it's even worse in places like New York City and Chicago. They're just not reporting on that. Congressman, how do we recover from this, and what is that going to look like? I know what the White House is telling us, and you know they're painting a rosy picture, but I got to tell you, there are a lot of people that are out of work and a lot of businesses shutting down out there.
And I hope people understand why. Those businesses are shutting down, schools remain shut down because Democrats are refusing to take steps towards opening the economy. We know now enough about this pandemic to understand that there are certain individuals who are at high risk. Everyone else is at a extreme or very much low risk in all of it. And now the further we go down the path, the more we see medications that are available that are helping the disastrous results of this. And but we have Democratic policies who continue, and Democrat and mainstream media, who continue to utilize fear in the American public to continue shutting down our businesses, our schools, our way of life. And that will continue until the election is over. It is shameful that even now healthcare itself has become politicized as a weapon to, hopefully, from the Democrats' perspective, defeat Donald Trump. That's incensing. It's unbelievable that we've gone down this path, but that really where we are. And I think it, again, ought to raise an alarm to the American people as to what this Democratic Party has turned into.
I completely agree with everything you just said. And, you know, this is all on the Democrats. And I really do hope that that the Republicans, that the White House drill that home every single day, that the reason why people are suffering is because of Democrats in power.
There's no question about it. And the reason we're seeing these riots take place is because Democrat governors, mayors, refuse to do anything about it. And instead, they want to point to the president and his lack of what they blame, or his lack of leadership, or his fault for this, that, and the other, when in absolute 100% reality, they are to blame for these riots, for the terroristic acts of violence that are taking place, because they refuse to do what needs to be done to stop it. And in fact, they are defunding police or drastically cutting funding for police departments. And it's just it's irresponsible. It's a dereliction of their duty and responsibility to the American citizens. And I, again, with you, just want to continue blowing that horn in hopes that the American people understand what's taking place and what really is at stake in the upcoming election.
Indeed. All right. Well, Congressman, always good hearing from you. You know, we had Senator Ted Cruz in town yesterday.
Great. Great champion for freedom.
Well, we like, you know, I don't know what it is, but, you know, I was a big Cruz supporter up until, you know, the convention in Cleveland. And, you know, but he has changed. His demeanor has changed out on the campaign trail. It's just he's a lot more approachable. I don't know what happened, but I think it's a great change. And I suspect we're going to be seeing him probably run for president again down the road sometime.
Wow, that's good to hear. I haven't heard others say it, but Ted is a great guy. And, of course, we all know how he has stood his ground and continues even now, pushing back on the Democrats and standing for the conservative principles that he ran on. He has not forsaken that, and we're all blessed and grateful for it.
And I we tried to get him to eat, you know, and concede that barbecue is actually pork and not beef, but he did not want to go there. He doesn't want to answer the tough questions.
Well, when it comes to barbecue, I guess if you're from Texas, that's understandable.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it is what it is. Congressman, always good hearing from you. Be good.
Likewise, Todd. Thank you.
All right. Congressman Jody Heiss. It is true, man. They get fierce. But I tell you, I will say this. There are barbecue joints in Memphis, and they try to do the brisket, and it just doesn't work. So I think we can all agree, if you're going to eat, you know, if you're going to eat brisket, you got to go down to Texas. But if you're going to go for pork barbecue, well, you got to come to Memphis. I mean, that's, you know, I'll fight you on that. No, not really, but, you know, we can agree to disagree. All right, look, got to take a break. I am curious. I do want to talk about this story about because honestly, I was really shocked at the number of women who said that you can't go around hitting men and attacking men like that. We're talking about this case out of Manhattan Beach, California, where a guy tried to eat his breakfast burrito, and this woman comes up, another crazy Karen, wearing the face mask, and she's attacking the guy for not wearing a face mask. And so she throws a hot cup of coffee in the guy's face. Instead of going after her, he goes after the boyfriend. And then she tries to come, she jumps into the fight, and the dude's like, you know, punching the dude in the nose, the boyfriend in the nose. And at the same time, he's like, dude, you better call off your girlfriend. You better call off the woman. You better call her. And so it did not end well for the boyfriend. I mean, in that instance, he slugged the boyfriend. And I think, honest to goodness, the guy got what he deserved. Because men can't go around, you can't hit a woman. I don't care what happens, you can't hit a woman. You can't do that, period. And I was just shocked by the number of women who said, well, she threw a cup of hot coffee in his face. Folks, America's losing it. You guys, everybody's got to start dialing it back a little bit. And this goes back to the first conversation we had in this radio program. We gotta get people back to church. That's the only way that's going to get resolved. So apparently, by the way, so here's what gets me. So they call the police in Manhattan Beach. I forgot about the rest of the story here. They call the police, And the boyfriend, he's calling the police. This is all on video. We have it on our website. You got to see it. The boyfriend's calling the police, and it's like, we were just, like, minding our own business, and this dude, like, came, and he, like, I'm bleeding from the face, officer. I'm bleeding from the face. And the other guy's like, oh, yeah, yeah, great. So you failed to mention the part about your girlfriend throwing a cup of hot coffee in my face. It was a little profane at that point. So the police come later. So they shut off the video. So now we know the police came, and no one was arrested, and they made each other apologize, and that was it. I don't know about that. I mean, she threw a cup of hot. That is assault. By definition. So you think they would have hauled her off to jail. But then again, maybe the police refereed this dispute and did the right thing. What do you think? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I tell you what, man, the boyfriend can't take a punch. I'll tell you that much. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
I feel bad for you, pal.
What I do?
Oh, you didn't do anything. Oh,
okay.
But I know you're, like, big into the culture and the arts.
Oh, so big. So big into culture and arts.
No, you really are. I don't know why we're laughing about it. I mean,
is comic book the culture and arts?
Well, he's a film major. I mean, it's, you know.
It's technically an art, I guess. I don't like calling it that because I don't know.
So are we art? I feel like if movies are art, we should be art, right?
We're performance art.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But I think, though, I mean, no, because Avery, that makes us sound legit, you know, that you've
that
got, like,
true.
You know, culture. So you're the culture reporter. I don't know. Anyway, this news coming from New York City. The Radio City Rockettes, lovely ladies with very long legs, they have announced they are canceling the Radio City Christmas Spectacular.
Really?
This is a huge thing in New York City. They've been doing it for decades, for generations, and this is the first time in the history of the Rockettes that they're canceling the show.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oof. The COVID-19, or the China virus is what they're blaming it. And I mean, understandable, I guess, because there's not much social distancing up there with the Rockettes. You know, you're in the, what do they call that, the chorus line? You know, with the kicks.
I think that's what it's called.
When I was at Fox News, guys, there was some point during the career at Fox News where Fox and Friends had me doing these fun feature kinds of stories. And they would send me out to do all sorts of things. And there was conversation about having me train to be like a Rockette. What was that?
Did you go through that?
No, I didn't go through it. I'm like somebody, at first I thought these people are nuts. And then somebody else clearly understood that was one of the most ludicrous ideas. Because, you know, that would have gone viral and not in a good way.
Oh, of course it was. That would have been a gift that we would have still had to this day.
So there is another video out there. I'll get to that in a second. There was, when the RNC was held in Tampa, they sent me out, and I was doing these daily feature stories for Fox and Friends in Tampa, and we were at Busch Gardens. And the plan, you know, the plan was for me to ride an elephant at Busch Gardens.
Oh my gosh!
But the elephant refused. this is funny. I was actually up for that. I was going to do that.
Wait, so the elephant refused. Is this like one of the situations where, like, the elephant has to choose you before you can ride it kind of thing?
You know, I don't know. I don't think it was the elephant. The zookeeper said, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. Ah. So instead, I had to do a stand-up. They went out and bought me one of those ball caps that has like an elephant snout on it and the floppy ears on the side.
Like a Dumbo thing?
Yes, exactly. And then the elephant was behind me in the enclosure at Busch Gardens. And I thought, you know, I really got to talk to my agent about this. I don't think this is the way it's supposed to be. But it was terrible. And I told you to put a pin in something and I was going to get back to it. And I can't remember what it was. But we have all of these. I remember what it was. So, you know, the Best in Show, the dog thing.
Yeah.
That they have at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, they run around. They jump through hoops and stuff.
With the metrosexual dogs. So they sent me down there to cover this thing. And there is video of this. If y'all have to find it. It's somewhere online. So they have like a doggy spa. And so after the dogs are finished doing whatever they do in the competition, they come back to this spa area. And there's like they had a series of treadmills. And so the dogs are actually working out. So they put the dogs on the treadmills and they turn the treadmill on. The dog doesn't know what the heck's going on. So the dog is, just jogging in place. So my producer for Fox and Friends was like, you know, what would really be cool is, you know, if you have like all these dogs on the treadmills and then put Starnes on a treadmill.
That's awesome.
Yes, in theory, until Starnes fell off the treadmill.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
The back of the treadmill, the side of the treadmill.
No, the back of the treadmill. I wasn't paying attention because I was trying to do my stand-up, you know, so you're trying to talk and you're having a conversation with the – I was trying to have a conversation with the dog. It was like this little, you know, tiny little pit bull kind of a thing who was like, you know, jogging away. And I'm like, you know, how's it going? You know, getting a good workout in, you know. And it was just something kind of silly and I wasn't paying attention and I fell off the treadmill.
Oh, my gosh.
And now I'm no longer at Fox News. I think they kept a list. I think they kept a running list. And they're like, yeah, okay. We're good here. They never asked Shep Smith to do that. Bill O'Reilly never had to do that, guys, but Todd Starnes did. All right, well, wow. I probably shouldn't have said that. Hey, look, been a lot of fun today. And we're going to do this all over again tomorrow. All you have to do is hang out with us. By the way, ToddStarnes.com. Check out the podcast if you missed any of the segments. It's been a good day, folks. Get out there. Have a good one. We'll be back tomorrow.